How many of you know what a command is? Raise your hand. Half the church knows what a command is. Okay, a command is something we don't have a choice on. It's something God tells us, you have to do this. Okay, so the Bible, even though he used men to pen things, this is God's word. All scripture was given by inspiration of God. That means God spoke it. It was inspired by him. He's the one that breathed it. And man just was the tool. Okay? But it's God's word. So he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that means from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all that canon of scripture is God's words, right? So if it's God's words, we must heed it. And we must obey it and do what God says to do, right? And so I was going to teach Brother Max as well. He sends me some of his devotions that he's put together. And praise the Lord that he's studying the scriptures. I appreciate that. But I told him, I said, I'm going to preach one of your outlines here. Because they're pretty good. If you haven't read them, they're pretty good. And I was teasing him. I said, but I think his professor taught him that at school. And he just stole those notes and wrote them down. But anyway, we have a good time with that. But I would ask you to stand with me one last time out of respect for the word of God, if you're physically able to. And go to the book of Psalm, chapter number 150. Psalm 150. And we'll get into the Bible and we'll preach. They said that you want to be out by 1 o'clock today. So we'll be, they'll hate y'all in just a few minutes, I'm sure, for shouting amen to that one. But anyway, we'll try to get through this quickly. But I do want to just preach an encouraging message to you this morning. But I think sometimes we lose the joy of our salvation. And I think there's so many times that as children of God, we do damage to the name of God. Because we walk around as if we have been given a death sentence rather than given eternal life. We think, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't go here and I can't go there. That's what the flesh desires. But when you walk in the Spirit and you're saved, it's not what I can't do. It's, man, I'm glad I get to serve God. I'm glad I get to do these things. And so we're looking at Psalm 150. And I asked you about what a command was because we're going to look at a verse of scripture here that's going to just help you a little bit here, okay? And here's what he says in verse 5 and 6. It says, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. How many of you are breathing?
Amen.
Raise your hand, okay? Some people are not breathing, so you need to call the ambulance, okay? You put them down. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That is a command of God. So guess what, child of God and person that's breathing? Guess who gave you air? God did. So I'm going to preach this message to you this morning entitled, It is Amazing What Praising Will Do. It's amazing what praising will do. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the time that we have to be here today. Lord, I just ask you please to hide me behind the cross. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I ask you please to use your message to encourage our hearts this morning. Lord, may we just leave here with an attitude and a mindset of praise. Lord, I just thank you so much for the scriptures. We thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the Psalms that teach us how to rejoice and to give you praise. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your many blessings. Lord, we ask you if there's anyone here today that's not saved, they'll trust you as their Savior. And we'll give you all glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. There's so many different verses that we're going to turn to this morning. I'm the type of preacher, and I know your preacher is this. See, your preacher, I've listened to him preach, and you guys get to hear him every week of the year. And every time I get to hear him preach, I'm on the edge of my seat because I think I've read that passage 100 times and I've never seen that before. And I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I just love the Bible and how it teaches us and how we grow in it. And as we get into the scriptures and we begin to look at some things, God talks to us about praising him. And in the Psalms here, we find this whole passage of Psalm 150. We're just going to read it real quickly. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now the Bible teaches us that when we got saved, he picked us up out of that horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, established our going, put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. So I mentioned to you that we've done a detriment to the name of Christ Because we walk around as if we've been given a death sentence, but the fact is, if you're saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is the only way to be saved, because you can't be saved by your works, you can't be saved by church attendance, you're only saved because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, you're only saved because he died on a cross and shed his blood for you, and that was the satisfaction of the wrath of God upon the sins of the whole world, that payment that I deserved and that you deserved, Jesus took upon himself. And so when he did that and he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he offers life freely. And that free gift is something you don't pay for. It's something someone else paid for and gives to you. But that gift has to be received. But I hear your preacher preach and it's just like, wow. And I think, man, this is so simple. But the Bible really, truly is simple. It can get difficult at times when you're chewing and meditating on it. But we have the author living in us. When you're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit indwells you. He takes up residence inside of you. So if you're struggling with what the Bible says, you don't need a new Bible. You just need to ask the author to help you to understand it, right? And so as we're looking in here, I'm going to talk to you about some things that the Bible says praising will produce. And I think it's important for us to understand, we've allowed the charismatic group to steal our praises. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about acting foolish up here on the platform. I'm not talking about getting some drums and some purple lights and fog machines and stuff like that, thinking you're praising God. That's glorying in man. That's not glorying in God. You need to praise the Lord. The word praise means this, to give glory, adoration, honor, and it's an honorable representation of someone else. So you think about what our praises do. When I'm praising the God on the outside, he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. What we're doing is we're giving glory and adoration and honorable and being an honorable representation of someone else. And that's God. He's the only one worthy of praise. Now, I know the Bible says give honor to whom honor's due. I talked about your preacher. I love your preacher. And we ought to give honor for his service. But I'll tell you this, I ought to praise God rather than men. There's a lot of man worship in this society today, that people are worshiping man and not the God of the man. And we need to get back to worshiping God once again and praising God. But I don't let the charismatics scare me away from praising the Lord. Amen. You know, it is okay every once in a while for God's people to raise their hand in the air and say, praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. When you're singing about saved by the blood of the crucified one, if you don't even get a little bit of a holy grunt inside of you, something's wrong. There's something wrong inside of you. You can't tell me that someone who brought you out of a horrible pit, set your feet on a rock, established your going, put a new song in your heart, isn't worthy of a hallelujah every once in a while, isn't worthy of a praise God every once in a while, isn't worthy of you just going, woo, glory, amen. You know, isn't it worth it sometimes? I know some people try to put on a show, and some people run around a church, and they have no idea. He just said something about the devil, and they're like, yeah, praise. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about when your heart's full of Jesus and just something inside of you just, it's okay to say amen. I think it'd do good for some of you just to say amen every once in a while. Act like you're excited about being saved. Act like you didn't, that God didn't punish you by giving you a home in heaven when you die, you know? He actually said, hey, guess what? Now you don't have to live in the devil's bondage. You get to live in liberty with Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm just going to say this. This wasn't in my notes, but liberty is not a license to sin. Just because you're in grace doesn't mean that you can do what you want to do and live how you want to live and talk how you want to. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. In fact, liberty is this. It's freedom from bondage. I'm glad for the United States of America. I'm glad for the country I live in. And we talk about in the liberty that we have in America. But see, we're liberated from a tyrannical government. We're brought out of bondage to live in freedom to make choices and do that. And we have a free will. But here's what our liberty in Christ is. It's freedom from the bondage of sin to serve Jesus. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. But I'm going to talk to you about a couple things in the Bible. When he said this, I just want to kind of set the stage that you don't have an option about praising God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And all of you told on yourself this morning. You said you're breathing. Well, some of you didn't. So I'll be watching that you don't pass out in church, okay? But listen, all of us have breath, so we ought to praise the Lord, right? The fact that we woke up this morning and breathed God's air, we ought to praise him for it. Some people say, you know, preacher, I didn't feel like getting up this morning. But you know what? You still did. And you had your heart beating by itself. And you know, some of us don't see as well as we used to. Brother Nathan, I had to get these. Not prescription. I just went to a CVS and got the reading ones. But I'll tell you this. I was in denial for the longest time. I've had really good vision. I can still see good far away. So the scope, I can still see through that scope and shoot. Okay, so that, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you this. I started reading. I was getting headaches at church. And my wife started telling me, you're moving your head a lot. And I said, oh, lady, you don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I'm not doing that. She goes, no, really, you're moving your head around. I was trying to focus. And I didn't realize I was trying to focus. And then they said, get bigger print Bible. And I said, no, you ain't messing with my Bible. I'm okay with it. I'll just try to figure it out. Well, then my daughter showed me something on her phone. And I went like this, Brother Nathan. And my wife said, you just moved that out. I said, I did not, lady. Quit saying that stuff. Well, then God has a sense of humor. Our well pump went out at home. And I had to fix our well. We had submersible well. We pulled it out. I went down to our water treatment system, pushed the power button, and I couldn't read it. I'm looking at it, and I couldn't see which button to push. I had to push the thing away from me, Brother AJ, and I was like, oh, there it is. And I hit the button. Then I had to go up and eat humble pie and tell my wife, you were right. I'm sorry. You know, I couldn't see it. So I got these, and I put them on, and I went, wow, I'm not reading in tongues anymore. I can see this. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. And I got to be able to read the pages. I was like, wow, praise the Lord, I can see it. What a blessing. And you know, something small like that still make you praise the Lord.
Amen.
I hate these things, but I praise God for them. I can see the scriptures better. And I said, I can't get a bigger print Bible. That just means I'm old. That's what I was told anyway. So if you have a big print Bible, I'm sorry. But they said that you're old, okay, and that's what you need. But anyway, I just can't get away from my Bible. I just love my Bible. I don't want to put it aside. I know where the notes are and all that kind of stuff, so I like to keep it. So I just got a magnifier to be able to read it a little better. But as I was reading it, he said this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So guess what? I'm commanded to do that, aren't I? And the reason I'm preaching this to you today, because you'll be amazed, according to the Bible, what praising will do for you. When you sit in church just like this, and the person sitting next to you is a lost person who comes into your church, and we're singing Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One, and you're going, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son. You think they want what you have?
Right.
You think they want that kind of spirit? No. You know what they need to do? These two guys, they get up there and sing, and I'm just thinking, Lord, I wish I could sing like that. I mean, my wife wants to cut the water off when I sing in the shower. You know, it's like, stop singing, buddy, okay? This is bad. But understand something. We ought to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Did you know that it doesn't matter if you sing good or bad? Your praises are good in the ears of God. He wants to hear you sing his praises. But we're going to get into it and see some of the things that praising does. And I want you to see back in our text here this morning, Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Did you notice everything that is praising in this is talking about something God has done? Praise him in his excellent power. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him for this. So here's what praising does. Praising gives glory to God. Praising gives glory to God. We're going to start off with that. That's what praising does. Brother Max, you praise God. Listen, who gets the glory for your salvation? You? No, God does. If you're saved here today, God ought to get the glory that you're saved. It ought to put something inside of you, the fact that you don't have to, you talked about remembering your salvation. And you think about the day you got saved, where you were before you got saved to where you are now. You were lost and doomed and destined for a hell. But then you put your faith in Jesus. Because either somebody loved you enough to tell you about him, but the Holy Spirit of God drew you into himself, and you by faith believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You were adopted into the family of God that day, taken from death to life, became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Man, that's something we're shouting about. That's something we're getting excited about. That's something worth realizing. That if I fall over dead right now, I'm in the presence of God. You know what it does? Praising him brings glory to his name. I'm not up here to bring glory to any work that I have done. All I did was believed in what Jesus did. And you know what? Because I'm saved today, we ought to give glory and praise to who he is. And that's what praising does. It brings glory to God. Let's look at another verse of scripture here, if you would. Go to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. I'm going to get you using your Bibles this morning, okay? Psalm 18 and verse number 3.
Psalm 18 and verse number 3. The Bible says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse number 3. It says this, but thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. It said, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So the first and foremost thing about praise is this, it ought to bring glory to God. It ought to bring glory to God. You know, a lot of this praise and worship stuff you see does not bring glory to God. It tries to glory in man. It doesn't glory in God. When there's a song that's not lifting your spirit towards the heavens, guess what? You're not bringing glory to God. When you come to a church that's not preaching the infallible word of God, it's not bringing glory to God. When somebody's trying to educate you on their opinion, it's not bringing glory to God. But when things are bringing God to the exaltation and bringing glory to him, you know what you're doing? You're adoring him and honoring him. And that's what your praises ought to do. Bring glory to God. But here's another thing that it does. Look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. It's important to give God praise. Psalm 138. We're going to just see what it's amazing what praising can do here. Psalm 138. Look what it says starting in verse number 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Now that's important. I'm an every word Bible believer. I don't believe that was by accident that he said your whole heart. And I don't think it's an accident when God says in his word, son, give me thine heart. Because the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of what? The heart are the issues of life. He's not talking about the muscle that beats blood through your body. He's talking about the inner being of who you are. Son, give me thine heart. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. Yeah. Above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So in this passage of scripture, he says, with your whole heart. Okay, he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, and thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul, all the kings of earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Did you hear what it said? All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. So first of all, praising gives glory to God. Secondly, it produces a witness for God. You say, what do you mean? He was talking about who God is, and with his whole heart, he's going to sing praises. And he said, because of that, all the kings of the earth are going to praise you because of my praises. Understand this. You know what it does? It produces a witness. You know what you're doing when you're praising God and giving glory to God? You're introducing other people to the one you're praising. Amen. You're telling other people about the goodness of God. Amen. You're telling people about the loving kindness. Look what he said. He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. You always say, hey, everybody, guess what? My God has loving kindness. He's singing praises to the Lord. He said, and for thy truth. He said, he is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me. He said, everybody, listen, I'm giving praise to God because he answers my prayers. He helped me along the way. And as he's giving glory to God, he's telling other people about God. Listen, when people come to church, you know what they ought to hear? They ought to hear how excited you are about the God that you serve. If you read through the book of Song of Solomon, now understand this. I never liked it growing up. I'll just be honest with you. I'm more of the 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, the sword fighting, you know, David's mighty men, let's lop off a giant's head. That's the kind of stuff I liked reading about in the scriptures. Then I got to the book of Song of Solomon and I thought, this is some gushy love story. This is like those little love novels that my sisters and cousins used to sit and listen to. And that's what I used to think. But if you take the book of Song of Solomon, here's the story in a nutshell. There's a king who has a vineyard. And he disguises himself as a shepherd. And when he comes to his vineyard, he falls in love with a maiden. And he marries that maiden. And then he goes away on a journey. While he's gone, she's telling everybody about her bridegroom. She's letting everybody know, Brother Nathan, how wonderful he is. And you start reading, and at first you're like, ugh. His lips are as this. And you're thinking, gag me. But as you're reading through it, here's what she's saying, how wonderful her bridegroom is. And in Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. Here's their response. Where is thy beloved gone? Where is this thy beloved, that we may seek him with thee? See, you know what praising does? Praising God tells everybody how wonderful he is to you. Tells everybody about what he's done for you. Hey, let me tell you, buddy, I don't know about your life, but my life's okay because he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going, put a new song in my heart. It doesn't matter. You just hit my car with a cart. I'm going to heaven. Amen. And you rejoice in Jesus. And they think, how could you not be angry about something like that? How could you be having joy? How could you be singing praise? I'll tell you why, because he's been good to me. Amen. And you know what that does? That tells them about his loving kindness. It tells them about who God is. And as you're bringing glory to God and what he's done for you, it's producing a witness for God. And I want you to know something. It's important for us to praise the Lord. Because when you praise the Lord, it's not about you anymore. It's all about him. You know what I can't stand more than anything is how people just want to talk about themselves. They come up to you, let me tell you what I've done. I did this and I did that. And I'm like, who cares? It doesn't matter what you've done. You know what matters is? What he did. Yes. That's what matters. You know what? You'll go a long way in your Christian life if you'll just take your eyes off of yourself and start putting them on Jesus. Amen. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me tell you what, we have somebody worth praising, don't we? Amen. It said, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It ought to bring glory to God. It produces a witness for God. There's other verses. If you're writing things down, you can go to Psalm 22, 22, Psalm 63 and verse 3, talking about producing a witness for God. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 9, if you would, please. Psalm chapter number 9. Psalm chapter number 9. And let's look at verse number 14. Actually, jump up to verse 13. It says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble when I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice, look what he says, in thy salvation. Here's what praising does. It brings joy back in your salvation. It brings joy back in your salvation. Sure. Have you ever been there before? I mean, you've been saved for a long time and just seems like things are not going right. And you just get down. Right. Things don't seem like you're on top side, right? And listen, don't act more spiritual, okay? We all, man, just miserable. Things are bad. And we get I call it Eeyore syndrome. If you watch Winnie the Pooh, these other kids are like, who is that? A new kid like that. But if you watch Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore walks around all the time. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I don't know what's going on, preacher. You know what praising does? He said, I will rejoice in thy salvation. He said, I want to praise thee because of thy salvation, the salvation that you've given me. I just want to praise the Lord for it. Because you know what? I don't know what's happening on this earth, but this is just temporary. I'll tell you what, I've got a home in heaven one day. And I know there might be some things bad. I might have got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, but I know the great physician. And I may have got a bad bill that's more than's in my checking account, but I know the guy who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I just got to rejoice in my salvation because when all else fails, I'm going to heaven. And we can just rejoice in the salvation that we have. You know what? We ought to keep that joy in our salvation. If you read through the book of Joel, and we're not going to go there for sake of time, but it talks about the grass of the field is perishing. And it talks about the trees being withered. And I'm paraphrasing all this. And here's what it says. The harvest of the field is perished because joy is withered amongst the people.
You know what's causing people to not want what we have? Spiritual Eeyore syndrome. When you walk in church, and it's a chore for you to have to walk into church. You kids, when you're giving mom and dad a hard time because they want you to be in the house of God. And you're walking in here stomping your feet, throwing a temper tantrum, folding your arms, sitting down. I'm not going to listen, bless God. You know what you're doing? Is you're not showing forth joy of your salvation, and it could cause somebody else not to know about it. It could cause somebody else not to want it. I'll tell you what the joy of the Lord does. When you start bringing joy in there and the joy of your salvation, really it doesn't matter what happens in your life on this earth. You're just rejoicing in Him anyway. And we ought to... It brings joy in our salvation, but it points others to salvation. It talks about that. Look at Psalm 9 again, verse 8 through 10, and we'll look at this. It says, He shall judge the world of righteousness and shall minister judgment unto the people. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praise to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. You know what it says? He said, just declare unto the people what He's done. What's going on with you? And here's what we like to do on Facebook. Well, you don't understand how bad things are for me. And I've been going through this, and I wish somebody would help me. And I wish that you understand there's a God waiting to help you at any moment. The one that lives inside of you who's standing there doing this on your heart's door every day saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And a lot of people think that's for salvation, but in the book of Revelation, He's talking to the churches. And He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now listen, He already lives inside of me, but every day He does this. Hey, I want to fellowship with you. You understand what he is offering when you open that door? He said, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. Like, there's a fellowship. God's knocking on my heart's door, wanting to fellowship with me because I'm His child. Man, that ought to make you happy. And guess what? He doesn't just choose me, Brother Nathan. He chose you too. Brother AJ, He chose you too. He doesn't just have to meet with me at one time and you with another time. He's everywhere all the time. He can knock on your heart's door at the same time He's mine and sup with you the same time He's supping with me. And that ought to bring praise to anything that has to do with sup and eating, we ought to rejoice over, right? Man, these boys have been loving food. I mean, steak and eggs for breakfast, I'll tell you, that's a blessing. But we get spiritual steak and eggs every morning if we get into the Word of God and spend time with Him. So it brings glory to God. It produces a witness for God. It brings joy back to our salvation. It points others to salvation. You can look at Acts 16, 25, and 26. I'll tell you that as well. But look at Psalm 9 again, if you would. In verse number 12. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. He's talking about praising the Lord, and then He says this, He remembers not the cry of the humble. You know what praising does? It produces humility. Because it helps us to understand who we really are. When you start lifting Him up, it starts showing you how low you really are. You understand that we're sinners. And even though we're saved, we're sinners saved by grace. And without Him, I'm nothing. Apart from Him, I could be nothing. And before I get all high and mighty and self-righteous and thinking I'm somebody special, how about I just understand this, that without Him, I'm on my way to hell. The best of men are men at best. And that's why you don't put your trust in man, you put your trust in God. That's why you don't glory in man, you glory in God. Because men will let you down, but God will never let you down. Right. And you know what? When we think about what it does, it produces humility in us because as I look at Him, I see how lowly I am. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, He's not talking about you cower and hide under this pulpit because you don't want to see the presence of God. No, it's saying you remember really how high and mighty He is and how low we really are. And when you really put God on the throne where He belongs, that in all things He might have preeminence, and you really exalt Him as Lord of your life, it can't help but do this. Yeah. And humble you before Him. Because you realize every time I open this page, I'm not worthy to read of His Word. I'm not worthy to call Him Father. I'm not worthy to serve Him.
I'm not worthy to be able to tell anybody else about him, but because of the blood of Christ, he had made me worthy, and he put a new song in my heart, and I can't help but tell people about what he's done. And it humbles me just to be able to serve him. Can I help you, fellas? Some of you young people around here worshiping the wrong people. You're worshiping some of these sports stars that you never met in your life. You'll wear their jersey and go to your grave being a supporter of that team. We were joking with the guys about the basketball game last night between OKC and the Spurs. I don't think you care about it. I don't really care about it. But the fact is this. I don't like prideful people. And so when you get arrogant people say, oh, this, I like it when they lose. And you know what? We woke up this morning, and after we had time, Brother Josiah, he was looking at the score, and he was like, ha, some of these boys wanted this guy to win, and they lost. And so the Spurs won. So I said, hey, go San Antonio. But you know what, really? Does it matter? You ought to be on Team Jesus. Because you know what? Those guys are just ungodly. Listen, I'm still a Michael Jordan fan over LeBron James. I don't think there's even any comparison at all. But I'll tell you this. If you start looking at basketball and praying, wearing the jersey, LeBron James, whatever, we're worshiping these ungodly people. Not the one who died on the cross for us. Now listen, I'm all about sports, and I think if you play sports, don't play to lose. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't say, oh, well, you did your best, second is the best. No, you lost. Okay, you lost. Play to win. Okay? You say, well, they came in second. That's like saying I was the best of all the losers. So what? But you know what? We play, and I'm competitive like that. But whether I win or lose a basketball game really doesn't matter. Whether I'm the best athlete on this earth or not doesn't matter. Whether I'm the best shot guys in the marksman, I hope you are. You need to learn how to shoot a gun. But that doesn't matter. What matters is when you put God on the throne, you take your eyes off of yourself, and it humbles you. Because you realize you're unworthy of anything he's ever done. And you can give him praise. The fact that you could walk into this building today, you can give praise to God. You say, well, somebody had to push me in a wheelchair. We ought to praise God somebody was willing to do that. Praise God there was a wheelchair. And it humbles us to realize. And the older that we get, the more finite we really realize we are. That we're not as invincible as we used to be. And it humbles us. Because we exalt him. And as we exalt him, it produces humility in our life. Look at Psalm 42, if you would. Psalm 42. Start in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppressors of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Look what it says. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's talking about, listen, people are saying, where's your God? All the stuff's oppressing me. But you know what? When I start praising God, what it does, it makes all the worry go away. It removes worry from my life. Doesn't the Bible say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God? That word, be careful for nothing, means don't worry about things. Now listen, if you haven't paid your bills in a long time, you might want to worry about losing your house or something, but I'll tell you this, you don't have to worry what happens to you. You say, why? Because God's with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know what he said at the last part of them verses? Let's just look at it again. In this passage of scripture, Psalm 42. It removes worry. In verse number 11, he said, "Yet for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know who is the one that gives me that joy, who gives me that hope, who gives me all that and removes the worry? It's all him. Amen. It's all him. When I start praising him, the worries float away. When I counsel people and they say, man, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I start saying, tell me some things God did for you. And you know what they do, Brother AJ? They start saying, well, oh, you saved me. Like, well, that's a great start. Wonderful start. What else has God done? And then they start listing stuff. And then when they're done about 5 minutes later, because they just keep finding things that God has done, I say, well, what were you worried about before?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. See, understand this. When you give praise to God, worries go away.
Amen.
Because you realize who it is that's protecting you.
Right.
Who it is that's your father, right? Well, the doctor told me this. Brother Josiah, can I use your story as an illustration? Brother Josiah and his wife, Miss Melanie, have been trying to have a baby, and the doctor told them in November that it was physically impossible for them to have a child. And Brother Josiah and Miss Melanie, they really wanted a child. He came to my office broke and said, preacher, just the doctor said that we won't have a baby. And him and I prayed together and shed some tears together, but I told him, I said, Josiah, remember, God's the great physician. God can do anything. In December, him and his wife came in my office, said, preacher, can I talk to you and your wife? And I was expecting something else. And he puts this little bag on our desk, and we opened up. There's these two little booties in it. And I looked at him and said, nah. And he said, preacher, let me tell you something. When they told us that, my wife was already pregnant. You understand something. Things we worry about, the doctors may say something to you. But remember what they say. They practice medicine. He's the great physician. You say, well, I already have cancer. That happened. Guess what? God can heal that cancer. God can take care of that problem. And even if he doesn't, he can give you joy in the midst of it. He can give you comfort in the midst of it. Don't worry. Just praise him. When you praise him, worry goes away. And let's go to 2 Chronicles. We'll end with this passage of scripture. 2 Chronicles, if you would please. There's so much more we could talk about, but you could probably teach a year-long series on praising God. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we'll look starting in verse number 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. Look what it says here, for the Lord will be with you.
Right.
Now, we'll continue on here in just a moment. But here's what God's telling them. There's a battle that you're about to face. But you don't have to do anything. Here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go tomorrow. He said, I want you to go down there. And when you go down there, he said, don't fear. Don't be dismayed. He said, tomorrow go out against them and the Lord's going to be with you. Man, that would give me encouragement. If I knew I was going to fight a battle and there was three people over there and they were big and I look back and I see the U.S. Army behind me, I'm going to be excited. Hey, I'm going to win this one because there's only three of them, right?
Yeah.
Well, it don't matter if the whole world was there. If God's standing there and he says, hey, I got this. Man, that'd bring comfort to me, right? Wouldn't it you?
Amen.
You know, God tells us he's going to go before us. He's going to fight for us. But yet we still worry. We still complain. We still don't go because we're afraid of what's going to happen. And look what it says here, verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So you understand, praise and worship go hand in hand. Praise is the outward that I speak of what God has done, and I'm bringing glory to him. But worship is me privately humbling myself in him and giving glory personally to him. But then look what it says. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, look what it says. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Yep. You know what praising does? It brings a defense in your battles. It brings a defense in your battles. You know what he said here? He said, you go out and praise. And here's what Jehoshaphat said. Hey, I want some singers to get up and start singing for the Lord. You know what I want to do, man? Somebody's spirit's down. You know what some of you people ought to do? Just get up and start singing praises to the Lord. Start singing, glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. You know what that'll do, man? That'll bring joy in somebody's heart. You know what it'll do? It'll start producing a defense in you, and you realize, hold on a second, I'm not in this thing by myself. I'm not fighting a battle alone. And when I was young, man, I was nervous sometimes. When I was real little, I remember going out in the woods to hunt, and I'd hear noises. And I'd be scared because I couldn't see. And I'd look back, and guess who's standing there? Dad. You know what? I was like, what noise? That noise don't scare me. It could have been a bear and I wouldn't have been afraid. You know why? Dad was there. And I knew Dad was going to protect me. I knew Dad was going to help me. And here's what the Lord said. Here was his plan. Very simple. You go out and just give me praise and watch what I do for you. Just watch what I do for you. You know, I think a lot of times we miss out on the battle's being accomplished because we're busy complaining rather than praising. God wants to come through for you and God wants to help you a lot of times, but you're too busy sulking and griping and complaining about all the bad that you've had rather than glorying in all the blessings of God in your life. And when you start glorying in the blessings of God and start giving praises to God, it provides a defense for you. You know what it does? It helps you build up that armor of the Lord and fight against the battle. And realize that all that defense is coming from him. And man, it just helps you to fight another day. Amen. When the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier, praising is part of that. Yes, you can't be a good soldier without praising the Lord. Amen. You can't be a good soldier without giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're saved in this room today, your heart ought to be stirred and challenged by the fact that he's worthy of praise. And it says this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Young people, you want to know how to find victory in your life? Praise the Lord. Good. Adults, you want to know how to keep joy in your life the older you get? Praise the Lord. Yes. You want to know how to not worry? Praise the Lord. Good. You want to know how to just be able to walk into church with a new song in your heart and enjoy coming to church? Start praising the Lord. Yes. Praising the Lord. Instead of coming in here wondering what time you're getting out, start saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to hear God's word being preached. And man, we're going to hear the songs of praise unto our Heavenly Father. And man, we're going to get to leave here with a spirit rejoicing inside of us, rejuvenated inside of us, because we realize that when Satan's fighting against us, he says, if I draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to me, and Satan's going to flee when I resist him. And you know what it does? It provides a defense. Satan comes and you look at him and you say, it's written. It's written. It's written. Satan runs away. You know why? Because God provides a defense. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When's the last time that you obeyed that command and just gave God praise because he's worthy of it? Let everything that hath breath. Again, you all raised your hand at the beginning that you were breathing. So let me ask you this. Are you praising? Amen. Because if you're breathing, you ought to be praising. And if you're not saved here today, I got good news for you. He's still saving today. Amen. Salvation is not stopped. In fact, he wants you to be saved. He's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're not saved today, won't you trust Jesus as your Savior and then rejoice and give glory to God that he's still willing to save a wretch like us, and give us a new home and give us a new name, and then go out and tell other people how good God really is. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the time we had to be here. Lord, I just pray that we'll leave here today with a song in our heart, even praising to our God. Lord, may we just fall down on our faces before you today, humbling ourselves, getting rid of worry, producing a witness for you, just because we're praising you for what you've done. Lord, we love you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.